Off the Ball Breakfast.
Oh, Duffer. What have you done, Duffer?
Oh, from the jaws of victory, defeat is snatched.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
And let's try this one last time. Take three. Johnny Ward, can you hear me?
Hello, Shane, can you hear me?
I'll tell you what, Johnny, for anybody who has had the patience to stick with us the whole way through that, they are either incredibly, incredibly loyal listeners, or it could take another angle and ask them, have they got no lives whatsoever? That they've just
are there Wexford fans like Liam Roots, and they're just like, after me tipping Kerry drawn all bet tonight in the Racing Post. Right, Shane.
I did notice that. I must say, Johnny, I thought to myself, if there's some explanation needed for how Wexford managed this, it must be that they have seen Johnny Ward's Racing Post. But seriously, thank you very, very much to anybody. Apologies for all the technical gremlins. Without Cameron Hill comeback, all is forgiven. I don't think that was our fault, Johnny, but they probably won't believe us on that front. But listen, let's plow on anyway.
Yeah, I find the spaces can be very frustrating at times. We're here now, and anyone who's waited the 20 odd minutes. So basically, I was making a convoluted analogy about year zero and the Cambodian regime when Pol Pot started everything at scratch. And obviously, Moses Dyer was going to Cambodia as of today, which is an incredible move. But it does feel like a year zero for Shells watching that game tonight, where it's like, Jesus, he's actually gone. And like, what's Damien Duff doing tonight? And you know what I start thinking then, Shane, and you've been in this situation, what's Joey O'Brien saying before games to Meepo now that he's starting him? He starts him in Watford, he's starting him tonight, and he scored tonight. What's he saying to players that are kind of back in favour to an extent? And Meepo, like, his performance tonight would kind of sum up his time at Shells a bit, where he scored a good goal in the first half. But Jesus, like, he looks the most, unnatural finisher at times, like, you know. And he'd great chance, two really, really good chances. And Galway United just kept on plugging away in there, and Bobby Burns got a vital, vital goal for a 1-1.
In fairness, he was unlucky with one of those chances with great goal line clearance. But listen, you hear Mark in the background there already. Mark, can you hear us?
I can, yeah. Can you hear me?
We can indeed. Fair play to you for jumping on. Marty? I'm assuming by the sound of things you're on the road to play home for the match.
Yeah, well, don't let the accent fool you now. I'm a Derry fan. My father's from Derry, so he would have raised me down in Balbriggan as a Derry fan. So we're just driving back from the Brandywell here. After a great win.
Happy men
is right.
Fill us in on the party.
Well, it was very poor, I have to say, for about 30 minutes, and then we finally got going. And after we got the first goal, Sam Todd with a brilliant header, we dominated the game there. Drogheda were really bad looking, I have to say. So, it was brilliant performance. Probably the best we've seen under Tiernan. And bodes well.
Dick for you, isn't there?
Sorry, Shane?
Definite signs that things are starting to click for you.
I think we weren't as bad as it looked anyway. Like, there was a lot of silly penalties going against us, a lot of red cards that maybe weren't. So, I know everyone says they're hard done by, but, you know, I thought we weren't getting any rub of the green at all for a long time. So, we were saying on the way up ourselves, like, if we don't give away a penalty after 30 seconds or if we don't get a silly red card, we'd probably do well in this league. So, and that's proven tonight anyway.
It was funny watching Derry the other night, Marty, and maybe it was just me, but I felt in Inchicore the player's body language was very much like, we're kind of in control of things here. We trust what we're doing, compared to Pats, who for me are all over the shop at the minute. And Derry, now that's like, they are three massive wins, like, without conceding actually as well.
Yeah, like, they're just putting their bodies on the line. They're running themselves into the ground for Tiernan. So you can see he's really got them firing. And it's great to see us moving up the league. I do feel, I know people have been writing off the league saying it's over, but I think anyone, if we can be Waterford at home next week, and, you know, if anyone can put a couple of string, like five or six wins together, they're going to be right up there on Shell's heels, or Rovers' heels. So hopefully we can start again at Waterford and then keep going, you know.
Shane, I thought Shane the other night, Derry did a team with practically their only speed in the whole team was Michael Duffy. And I spoke to Tiernan Lynch afterwards. I've never spoken to him before, but he specifically made the point we're going to bring in fresh legs. But like the likes of Todd, who scored tonight, I know he was with them at Larne, wasn't he? He looks a different player to the player. I don't know, have you seen that, Marty? But I was talking to a couple of Derry fans, and he was excellent the other night. Like, he looks like a player who's thriving. And Derry, for me, are, if there's any sort of a title race, they're the biggest danger in terms of the budget and the players that they have to come back in. But they seem to be getting there, and that promise of players to come is exciting.
Yeah, I've been getting a lot of stick on the terrace because I am a huge Sam Todd fan. I always was, and I thought he didn't really get a chance under Higgins. And Tiernan has really transformed him and turned him into, like, he's looking so good, I have to say. Like, he's probably our man of the match tonight, and he's probably been our most consistent player. And I'd give a shout out to Hayden Khan as well, because he was brought in. There was a lot of negativity around him. People kind of thought he wasn't up to this, but he's looked really good as well. Like, he was standing out as well in the last couple of games. So those two players, it's a sign of a really good manager when you can kind of, you know, it's all right signing the big players, but you need to polish off the rough diamonds in your own squad as well. And Tiernan has done that very well with those two boys.
Marty, what is the talk up there around the new signing? Has there been much? Is there anybody who knows much about him? Adam Frizzell, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. What's the expectations around his arrival, do you know?
Well, Derry's a very negative place about everything, but there was a good column from one of our former players, Nicky Law, who is Scottish, and he said he's a really exciting player. He kind of plays in the 10, and we've been missing that player since McElhenney and Patching left. We just don't have an attacking midfielder, so I'm hoping he can fill that gap, because we are very one-dimensional at the minute. It is very effective, but we don't have the ability to bring in that attacking midfielder to maybe unlock in a tight game. So I'm really excited that we're going to have that option now, hopefully. And again, we just need that player in the squad, which we don't have at the minute.
Yeah, sounds like he could exactly have the skill set that you're after. You feel it's not too late to make a proper charge at hauling them in, obviously, Marty.
I don't know. I think if anyone wins, you know, 6, 7, 8 games in a row in this league, they're going to be right up there. And we have the quality to do it, whether we will do it or not. We've been saying that for years now, every year. But we definitely can do it. Whether we will do it or not is another question. But yeah, I don't think Rovers. I think Rovers, fair play to them, they had a great run. But there was not saying they're lucky or anything, but a lot of the games, like, I remember Waterford away a few weeks ago, the goalkeeping in that game was horrendous. Then they played Pats, and again, the goalkeeping, they were handed the games. Even they come to the Brandywell, and we controlled them for 60 minutes. And then Brian Maher made 2 errors. Well, maybe the second goal wasn't his fault. He was far enough for the fourth one. So I did think they were getting a lot of breaks from things like poor goalkeeping. And I think the last couple of weeks of show, they're kind of slowing down again. So I don't think they're this invincible force that's going to go on and win it by 10 or 15 points. So I do think ourselves and maybe hopefully Bowles can run them close. They have to come up to the Brandywell, second last game of the season. So I hope we're in touching distance then. And if we are, maybe we can exercise the ghosts of last year, maybe.
Absolutely. It looked like you said 2 games coming up against 2 of the bottom 3 sides is going to give you another chance to build a bit of momentum, that's for sure. Marty, listen, thanks a million for jumping on. Fair play.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Bye. Oh, yeah. Now, Johnny, it might be time. Oh, he's gone to me. I was just about to give him the big build-up. I saw Shane Kennedy there. I was thinking it might be time for an episode of Dr. Phil, because this would be the first time we would have spoken to Shane Kennedy since the momentous news last weekend of Damon Duff stepping away. So Shane, get back on. We want to hear your thoughts. You were one of the first people, rightly or wrongly, you were one of the first people who came to my mind when the news broke. Here he is. Wait till we see if we can get him in, Johnny. Get the psychiatrist's couch out here. Shane, can you hear us?
How are you, Shane?
Can indeed.
I'm just in the Imperial here now in Galway. The signal's a bit rough.
good man. Shane, talk to us. You were genuinely one of the first people I thought of when the news broke. What do you, before we move on to tonight, just tell me your thoughts on the whole thing.
That's sad. It's definitely sad how it's ended. It's sad how we haven't heard anything, and I hope Damien's all right. But it's just sad how it's come from what he's achieved to this. But as I've been saying all season, we've been poor. And the football brain in me says, I'm actually not too disheartened in terms of what's going on in 2 weeks, because we've been so poor and we've been so good in the past two games that we back us more now to beat Linfield than I did last week. And that's the football brain in me. But in the long-term brain, you're like, it's obviously a negative for the club. But next week and in 2 weeks' time, it's so big for our football club that we just simply can't afford to lose it.
I think, Shane, you've spoken really well there, because I completely agree with you in relation to the Linfield game. I think there'll be a bit of a managerial bounce. But if you think of this, you said, I hope Damien Duff's okay. You have to think of this from Damien Duff's perspective as well. Like, Damien Duff has left jobs before where the consensus would be like, he left the FAI. The FAI was a mess. He has left this job out of absolutely nothing. And I'd be very surprised if he's going to go on in a week or two and slate Shells or slate anything. So for anyone who now wants to ever like look at Damien Duff come forward, they're like, well, he's a bit of a loose cannon. Like, he jumped ship there at a really weird time. And it just does kind of, as much as I'm not amazed that it happened, the timing still really was a shock to me. I don't know if that makes sense.
Just given the quickness of it, I suppose, it's more than anything else. The timing, in my opinion, isn't a big shock, because I think he understood how much the game of 2 weeks means to our football club. And I think he realised we were at a stalemate in terms of football on the pitch. And I've said it all season on here. And I think he realised that maybe in terms of Joey stepping up or something, giving the players something different. I'd love to hear his side of it. But what the game in 2 weeks is just... I meant to say it last week, but I didn't get a chance. But in terms of the league, like, the league needs us to beat Linfield next week, because if we don't beat Linfield next week, there's no one going to catch Shamrock Rovers, because the money that we gain from beating Linfield in terms of a couple of million might help us. But there's no one, like, the Champions route is so key that if Rovers, unless Bowes win the league this year or Derry, there's no one going to catch Shamrock Rovers anytime soon, because the Champions route, when you're in it and you see it and you look at what that does for the draw, like, the Linfield game is absolutely ginormous. And like, I'm not too pushed on Damien, I call him the gaffer, but I'm not too pushed on leaving, because we weren't going to beat, but I wouldn't have backed us to beat Linfield last week. And now, after the last two performances, I would give us a much better chance.
Shane Keegan, can I bring you in, Shane Keegan? Yeah, because like, Dan, who was at the game, Dan McDonald, last week, felt that the Shells players, or a Shells player, was almost like reacting in a manner. And I find players' body language really compelling on the pitch, particularly when somebody is as extroverted as Damien Duff is. Like, it's the type of management that I think it almost has a shelf life. It's very hard to keep that up. But it sounded like the message was bouncing back, if that makes sense. I don't know what you meant of it.
Yeah, no, look, 100%. Johnny, I'm not going to claim to be Nostradamus here, or I won't say I predicted that Damien Duff would resign within 24 hours, but it is mad. I did off the ball last Saturday in studio with Graham Gartland, and we got onto a chat about Duffer and, you know, how Shells were going, and, you know, Duffer in general and the whole lot. And similar to what you just said there, I did say that I found, you know, Damien has said in the past that, you know, I intend to be at Shelburne for the next 10 years, I think. I'm probably misquoting him there, but of that kind of speak. And for me, I was just saying, not in a million years could I see that happening. Like, it's he's so intense, he's so all in. Definitely that style of management, as you've said, has a shelf life. There's no way you can build a Stephen Bradley style, you know, long-term dynasty by managing a team in that way. It will absolutely get you short-term results. And what he did last year, short-term being an entire season or more, by the way, when I say short-term, what he did last year was absolutely remarkable. But when your relationships with individuals are that intense, Johnny, they can't go on continuously without something starting to fray, you know, pretty quickly.
Yeah, and like there were, I mean, I didn't like aspects of the Shane Farrell stuff last season, but I can kind of see, you know, there was all the stuff that Damien Duff had done right for him. But the signs were there in the sense of the stuff with Stephen Bradley and Mara Picotto in the dressing room stuff. I just thought it looked like things were slipping away from him. And, you know, the Daily Mount appearance, Darth Vader, that thing, that was all a bit weird. And ultimately, Shane Kennedy, you've made this point week in, week out. Shells haven't been playing well.
No. No, we haven't. And Joey made a change on Monday, which was a slight. We had the two lads up front closer to Meebo in terms of Harry Ward and Ali Q. And Ali Q set Harry Ward up for, I think, one of the goals. And it was a subtle change, but I mean, that goes to be the infield now. And I'd be more confident than I was last week. And I kept saying it all season, whether he was going on about Europe and. I don't know if I mentioned the point, but when in terms of when they said about Europe all season, just having Paddy Barrett and Sam Bowen and everyone injured, I don't know, Shane, yourself, you might have them involved in team meetings. So when they step into the team, when it's a three at the back, they don't come into the team in terms of Europe and they're aware of their position. Although they haven't played a game, but they know what's going on. And I firmly believe that Damien believed this was the way to go in Europe. And as I said, if we didn't have the Champions League 2 weeks, he would have changed, and maybe that would have kept himself saying a couple of weeks ago, but maybe it just didn't work out in the sense that he believed this was the way to go and it wasn't working. And Mark Hoyle centre-half wasn't working, Sean Gannon centre-half wasn't working. There were so many elements to Monday-Friday matches. But look, the Champions League next week in 2 weeks' time will judge whether it was the right or wrong decision, because I give us more chance now, as much as I've loved the past 3.5 years, I give us more chance now in 2 weeks' time of winning that game against Linfield than I did 2 weeks ago.
I'd agree with you. Sorry, Shane Keegan, to cut across there. What is, if Joey O'Brien gets the job, what's that dynamic like, where it's like, well, I was absolutely the absolutely number two. Number two, like a massively important number two, but you imagine his role was, a lot of it was defensive. And now he's come in and he's obviously entrusted me for a bit. But what's that like that transformation, particularly when it's so out of the blue, basically?
Go on, Shane.
That's used for Shane Keegan, former League of Ireland manager.
sorry, Johnny, sorry. This is what I was going to ask Shane, just to give us a brief overview of tonight's performance, because do you... Like, is there any visible signs of a difference in what you're doing over the last couple of games since he stepped aside? Because I would assume, Shane, he's going to be given the job till the end of the season at least, surely, is he? So I'm just interested to see what you're seeing from him over the last couple of games.
It's hard to go without tonight talking about Monday because they're so close together.
Yeah.
Monday, we played a 5-2-3, and we had Harry Wood and Meebo. I don't know if Chris Shields is listening, but we had the two lads closer to Meebo, and then tonight we went back to a 5-3-2 with Sean Boyd and Meebo in front. But Temple came in, and it's just, look, it's hard to say because he has the full squad available, and Damien didn't have that available for the whole time. In the last two games, we haven't had any injuries. But the Harry Wood and Meebo thing in Waterford was complete another game changer. I watched the game back. I have no idea how we didn't win it. But again, tonight, Conor Cairns gives away a gift. Cameron Ledgewood gives away a gift. But not only is it a gift in tonight and Monday, we created a hell of a lot more chances than we've been creating in the last two games compared to previous games where we've given away goals, but we've only had one chance. Tonight, we've seen Dan McDonald's tweet how we coughed up. I don't think there were as good as chances on Monday, but we're just creating more chances, and maybe the players were sick of what was going on. I'm not sure. You'd love to be a fly in the wall on the old dressing room, but it looks like the last two games, the shackles have come off in terms of just not like flatness, but just in terms of like that weight off the shoulders, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It does absolutely make sense. Shane, appreciate the call on it as usual. And look, I hope you're right. I hope this is going to put a bit of an extra pep in their step, because, you know, I think we all want to see Shells come through that game. I'm sure there are plenty of supporters who don't want to see Shells come through that game. But I think myself, Johnny, and yourself, we definitely want to see a big Shells performance and a win in that game.
As I said, the league, regardless of being a Shells fan, the league needs us to do well just to close the gap. Someone has to close the gap on Shamrock Rovers, because if it's not us, it's just going to turn into, which is fair play to Shamrock Rovers, it's just going to turn into a Scottish league, because the money is astronomical. And do you know what? Part of me would say I'd rather Bowes win the league over Shamrock Rovers this season, purely because of that. Although the Twitter, X and whatever else will be, but we just can't afford Shamrock Rovers in terms of the league to keep going on and on and winning it, because nobody will close the gap on them and someone has to.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's in danger of going that way. I'm with you. Shane, thanks a million.
Cheers. Thanks, lads. I suppose, Shane, it's a nuanced one in relation to, like, do Galway United benefit from Shells doing well in Europe? It's highly debatable. And, you know, wages are a big challenge for the likes of Galway United. Obviously, Sligo Rovers, clubs in the west of Ireland, but clubs like, I mean, you see Moses leave with his claws, triggered, but the likes of Sligo Rovers to try to compete against the wages that Shamrock Rovers can pay their players. And Shells have been paying good wages, obviously Bowes, Derry City particularly as well. So it's hard to compete. So it's kind of hard to know. Like, I've never once have I not wanted a League of Ireland team to win in Europe. And I get a massive kick out of League of Ireland teams doing well. Shamrock Rovers were brilliant last year. But it's a hard thing to get your head around from the perspective of just looking at life, what Damien Duff has potentially, you know, where his headspace has been at for the last sort of, since they lost that game this time last week. And what you're saying there, Shane, like, I think Stephen Bradley has the secret to good football management. One of the big secrets is probably having a very good player to replace player X if he's not playing that well. And, like, in fairness to Alex Ferguson, Man United, he had a core of players, but basically if you weren't playing well, he had somebody to replace you, and he'd really good characters in the dressing room. And I'm looking at Stephen Kenny is under pressure 100%. He should be under pressure from basically that squad at the moment, from the way they're playing. And I think Stephen Kenny, there aren't enough kind of winners and leaders in that team. And again, Pats were poor tonight, but with Damien Duff, for me, it's like, I just don't know, can you micromanage like that all the time, because he's probably just burnt out himself.
He is, Johnny. Yeah, like, I suppose one of the golden rules of management, or one of the quotes you'll hear most in management, is, you know, when you have the good times, don't get too high, and when you have the bad times, don't get too low. I see it as impossible for Damien Duff to follow that mantra. I don't think his personality allows him to follow that mantra. He's so, you know what I mean? It affects him so much. He's so invested that he does go a little bit over the top when they win, and he definitely feels it. You know, really feels it in his core when things aren't going well. And essentially, that's why he's stepped away. I mean, things haven't even got that low, Johnny. Let's be honest. Like, they haven't got that low. It's not like,
no,
you know, that they've dropped way off. And, you know, particularly with European football coming up. But look, I think the biggest mistake we're doing here is we're trying to apply logic to a man who has proven to be utterly illogical over the last. Absolutely pointless in us discussing things in any normal terms. The other thing to factor in here as well, Johnny, is, like, I think I heard a chat, I think it was one of the off-the-ball chats today, I think somebody might have said it to Owen Heary or something, that, you know, if you feel you're not getting the most out of your dressing room, then, you know, I'm sure you would walk away as well. Well, the honest truth here, Johnny, is no. As manager, don't walk away.
You need the money.
Afford to walk away. We need to dig in, and we need to either turn it around, or we need the club to sack us, even though we don't want to be sacked. But if they don't sack you, you don't get any money walking out the door. And as most people will know, money in management in the League of Ireland is a million miles from the money that they're earning over in England.
That's why you're a co-host of Twitter Spaces. Well, I put it to you, Shane Keegan, if this is going to be like kind of a double monologue for the rest of the night, if we don't get people on, but hopefully we will. Where are you at with Pats at the moment? I spoke to Stephen Kenny after the game Monday night. I really didn't see the game he was talking about in terms of the positive. The positivity he was putting on it. They look like a team that's just like El Buzetti's chances tonight was kind of typical of where Pats are. But then at the same time, Anang has another howler that he got away with. Obviously, Nelson should score. And if you look at the run of form Pats are on, including going back to the Rovers game in Talla, I'm thinking of that last gasp win they had. Jamie Lennon got the goal. Apart from that, they're not scoring. And this is the thing, and I mentioned this from the other night, his man management on particular players does not seem to be working anymore. Our specific players that you can obviously guess who I'm talking about here, the likes of Jake Mulroney, hasn't happened for him. Brandon Cavanagh was better tonight, but he's been in and out of the team. And they are miles off a chain. They're really, really miles off for a team that I was tipping to be bang there.
Yeah, I tipped them to be bang there as well, Johnny. And I'll be honest, I can't roll back now because I... right up until this week, I was still defending them. And I'll tell you why, and this won't surprise you. You know me, I fall back on numbers a lot. The three defeats in a row that St. Pat's had before tonight, St. Pat's won all three games comprehensively on XG. And you know me, I do take note of that, and I do put some faith into that kind of stuff.
Because did you watch the games?
I know. I'll be honest. It's probably been kind of. I'm looking at the three games here now. I don't think I watched any of them start to finish. No, I think they were all kind of highlights and chances, kind of a thing that I looked at. So, no,
I watched all three, for example. Yeah.
But look, I don't know. Like, these metrics are coming up and saying that they have the better the scoring chances. You know, I can't say I believe them one week and I don't believe them the other week. I'm either behind them or I'm not. Those same metrics will tell you tonight that they were well second best against the team that are bottom of the table. Now, if that's not
Shane, look at Aidan Keane.
Yeah.
Look at Aidan Keane, the way he's playing at the moment. Like, he is, from that goal in Terryland, he is a shell of a player. And that chance he had tonight, it's so typical. Like, one thing I love about sport is the human frailty, then multiplied by 11 players, but then the collective sort of takes over where you're looking at this Pats team and you're like, you just don't fancy them at all. And if they have an opportunity, they'll basically find a way to fuck it up. And his confidence just wasn't there tonight.
Yeah, very true, very true. Listen, on the callers, we, as you said, we need them back on. I did see Irish Chancellor, who always provides us with a few laughs. He had requested to speak there a few minutes ago. I didn't quite get to him when we were chatting to our other ones. If he's still around, jump on again. We'd love to get you on. Johnny, have you seen the Owen Elding goal yet?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I was on the couch tonight watching the laptop and the TV, and it's fantastic to be able to see the goals come in, and they show that goal at half time, and I'd seen it online as well. Like, Elding is, I mean, like, Bowes were, I'll call out my mate Julian Canny here tonight, who said this well. Bowes were like 3-1 on tonight, way too short against the Sligo team, who've really improved of late, like, and not conceding that many goals. And this is a big challenge coming off Monday night or whatever. But Elding's goal, I know, and it wasn't only that, it was the John Russell type football that led to them having that lovely break as well. And I'd like to see it from kind of behind the goal, like the Danny Mandroyo angle when he scored in the Derby game that time when he was with Bowes. Jesus, what a strike, Shane. And like, this is a guy that's another player like Reece Hutchinson, they're going to really struggle to hold on to.
Yeah, like, the only way for those, anybody who hasn't seen it yet, obviously jump onto it's on the League of Ireland Twitter feed. Like, the only way to describe it is he struck it from, I don't think we're exaggerating to say, about 25 yards
more,
there or thereabouts.
More, yeah.
And the ball, for all the world, Johnny, the ball is still speeding up as it hits the back of the net.
Mm.
Like, it's a long time since I've seen that.
And it was probably XG 0.02, which was shite as well.
Very true. Very, very true.
Always found a way to get a result, in fairness. Like, but the only thing about Cork City tonight is at least Sligo didn't win. So they didn't lose ground on them. But Sligo at the moment look in far better shape, I think, to get out of the to not finish bottom anyway, at the very least.
Yeah, I see. I'm sure it's a name you probably know, possibly know myself. I'm not great at remembering names. Just on our comments on the Twitter feed, Johnny, Alfie Keneally. Am I pronouncing his name right? Do you know Alfie?
I don't.
He's a Galway United fan. He's just making the point here. I hadn't realised. He's making the point that Keane Byrne is now finished with yourselves. Is that right?
Yeah, he's going back to Bowes as of the 1st of July. So, yeah, he's actually been very, very good. And, like, I suppose Greg Cunningham's legs don't look quite like where they are. Gary Buckley has come back. But Keane Byrne has done well. He was in a student loan signing. And he might slot in and rival the two lads at the back for Graham's spot. Because Graham was a big loss, I think, for Bowes as well. But Keane Byrne was a good signing. I tell you what, though, Shane, like, it's, you know, like I'll be in Cork Park on Sunday, and like basically Gaelic, as much as you can knock Gaelic football and into the inter-county stuff, it essentially still is, you play for the team where you're from, right? And like following a football team, like Moses Dyer is off to fucking Cambodia. Like he was literally only there a few weeks. He was doing unbelievably well. Now he's gone to Cambodia. Like what sort of football is this? Like, you know, he's going to Cambodia.
and listen, the one, if you want to talk about talent leaving the league and how, you know, how we have to try and guard ourselves a little bit better against it being against some of the good talent in the league being allowed to leave so easily, I'm sure you've heard the stories around the Gennaro Daniels situation. I mean, this one seems utterly ridiculous because he quite simply can't have signed a short-term contract. The only contract he can have signed is until the end of the year. So therefore, if they are allowing him to leave, which I'm led to believe he is set to leave, he was only on the bench tonight, and I think that could potentially be his last action as a Cork City player. Like, where are we going if we're not even making players fulfill their contracts?
Yeah, it's the one thing about the Moses, what my feeling or what my vibes were with in relation to Moses was that his persona, we did an interview with him, I did an interview with him on Zoom, and he was a larger than life character, but his persona was possibly not the archetype for what you'd want in the dressing room, and there was a sense maybe that the dressing room would be better if he were to leave. I understand what I was told the other night was that he was, Derry kind of wanted him with the potential for Hooban going the other way maybe, and then Moses was like, I can't play on that pitch because, you know, it's Astra, even though they're digging up at the end of the season. But the whole, I don't know much about the Daniel situation, but yeah, the Moses one seemed to be like United were sort of an issue, were sort of happy in a sense that this guy was a little bit of a tricky character maybe in the dressing room. That's what I heard anyway, but it's a big hole to fill. Obviously the new lad came in, did all right tonight, Shaw, and Walshy didn't do badly, but his legs seemed to be gone. But it just seems like football is really fickle, that like he's literally there for half a season, a bit of a cult hero, and then he's gone to Cambodia.
I assume that there has to be serious moves in the background there to get a replacement in. I mean, you'd be fairly fearful as to how the rest of the season would go for you unless a new number nine appears.
Yeah, but the one thing about United since Ollie Horgan has come in, I'd say in particular, and this is testament to how well he and John work together. Like they've an unbelievable attitude, and even tonight, should have lost the game, but like really kept going, and created good chances at 1-0. So I don't know, like where are Galway United this season? Ultimately, Shane, should be winning in the cup, and a run in the cup would be great. I mean it'd be a bit of a collapse if they were to drop into the bottom two, for all that they're not any better than Sligo at the moment. Europe for me looks a bit ambitious, so it might be one of those seasons where, but there's nothing wrong with a boring season of finishing like seventh and being comfortable. I've no issue with that at all, as long as there's stability in that. But like you strip Moses' goals away, and yeah, it would be a worry, obviously.
Right, I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you to call this one. Tell me now and give me your reasoning behind it, if you can apply any logic to it. Who finishes higher this year, Derry or Bowes?
Yeah, that's a fair question, and I think the bookies would have them close enough. Bowes, you know, the anomaly with Bowes, they've drawn a game. I've just actually remembered Bowes have drawn a game. They actually are not going to go through the season. So up until tonight, they hadn't drawn a game. So they've really kind of maximized, I suppose, the points they could have gotten with a lot of late goals. And particularly around since that time in Tallaght, they got a lot of, didn't they beat Cork City the night before as well, 1-0 with a late goal. So they've gotten a lot of late goals. And it's kind of hard to know exactly where they're at. I've seen more of Derry. I was fairly down on them at the start of the season. I thought Tiernan Lynch got a good vibe off from the other night, the way he spoke. But the thing for me was that, just speaking to the Derry players afterwards, they just seem a good bunch of players. I know that they've gone training Saturday mornings now, which I think will result in one or two of the Scottish recruits leaving, because it didn't suit them to leave the weekend. But I think that's better, where the players are around. They're in on a Saturday and they're kind of recovery sessions and all of that. So they've trimmed the squad a little bit. There's no issue with that. Philip Doherty is a bottomless pit of money in League of Ireland terms to bring in. I don't know if Bowes will go quite that hard in terms of recruitment. It's not really their style, but Philip Doherty can kind of do whatever he wants. They have that training set up. And I was looking at their team the other night, Shane. They did no real pace in it. And Ben Doherty was injured. And they still managed to win. I thought they were very comfortable. And the Derry that I've seen since maybe about 10 games in, I'd have them as second favourites. And in terms of budget, that's probably where they should be. Like the CV that some of these players have coming over, like Liam Boyce scored the other night. Like, he's played like 28 odd times for Northern Ireland. I know he's getting on, but he's still got a really, really good Predators finish. Robbie Benson is kind of coming back in. Salou Diallo is going to be a big player. Cameron Dunigan's been injured. He's coming back in. They didn't cough up chances the other night for whatever about XG. Like, Pats for me didn't really look like scoring. They have three clean sheets back to back. And Bowes are probably... I'd have Derry just slight favourites. So ultimately, these things are normally just dictated a bit by the wage packets, and Derry should be ahead of Bowes, but it's a tough one to call. But Derry for me, I don't know what you think.
No, I would probably agree with you in the sense that at the moment it's almost impossible to call them apart. I would, like you've just said, you've seen more of Derry. I've probably seen more of Bowes, and I've seen them a good bit of them at the time they've hit form. So I would probably lean towards Bowes based on what both teams have at the moment. But exactly as you've said, I would think Derry's potential to make more signings and improve is great. Well, it has to be greater than Bowes, because as you say, they've essentially got a bottomless pit of money there.
Enjoying it as well, Shane. I think the players are buying into it. Tiernan and his brother Seamus, the coach and staff, they seem to be fairly well liked. And the lads, like, this is the big thing for me. When you have those guys coming in from Britain who are getting good money, like, and you know, lads coming in from the SPL and almost doubling their wages, which I understand to be the case. Like, you're kind of like, are they in this for, you know, basically for a few quid and go back to Belfast for the weekend or wherever it is and just get on with life? But like, Mark Connolly was very, very keen on this. These are lads, like, they're good. This is a good dressing room. This is a good bunch of players. And I just really, really liked the aura that they gave off on Monday night, that they were just going to win the game. They're going to manage a way to win. And they are definitely going to bring in pace into the team as well. Like, if they hadn't lost to Shamrock Rovers in the Brandywell, it'd be a lot more interesting. That was a key loss, but I do like them. And like, Michael Duffy's possibly the best player in the league this season as well, and they'll always have him.
Have you heard any talk as to McElhenney's kind of influence? Is he taking much on the coaching side? Have you heard anything of how he's shown up since he's gone into a coaching role?
I don't really know. And like, I find it so weird, like, because even there the other night, and I'm always kind of half looking over at Patrick McElhenney now, slightly afraid, because I wonder, was he very down on me for calling him out so much for his simulation in that game against Shamrock Rovers last season, where I was really critical of him. He's one of my favourite players in the League of Ireland, bar none, without a shadow of a doubt. But you go down there, you know, and you see Patrick McElhenney on the bench, you're like, this is so mad. Like, I mean, he must be like, just, can I come on for 10 minutes? No, you're playing in the Irish League. But I don't know, the assistant manager, whose name I forget, Andy, who is it?
Is it Mitchell?
Yeah, he seems to be well regarded, definitely. And another thing that's interesting, which apparently he's been doing for the last 9 years, is that Tiernan Lynch has kind of a headset in, and he has his brother up in the stand, and he basically chats to him like, yeah, if you ever see Aidan O'Brien after a race, he's on the phone straight away. Apparently it's Dan Marie, the wife. Well, Tiernan Lynch is actually effectively on like a headset to his brother Seamus to see what he can see up in the stand, where he says it's basically a better view, and he said it's worked for the last 9 years. But you do feel like they have to be getting to know the league a bit better as well. Even Liam Boyce said the other night he found the pace hotter than in the SPL, for example. I think like certainly in some games anyway, he found the pace a bit tough, and I think Derry have a bit of upside in that regard.
I actually only asked this conversation the other day. You'd think I'd know, having managed in the league. I was genuinely wondering, is there a rule against the use of technology by a manager? Because you look on inter-county GAA sidelines, almost every manager has a headset on, and yet it's not something that you see in the League of Ireland. So that's that. I hadn't realised Tiernan Lynch was wearing one. I know the only thing that I know, I remember a game with Cove where we had the LOI stream on an iPad. This is something you'd see regularly now, is that teams, some member of the dugout is tasked with having the game on an iPad so they can instantly review kind of incidents. And I called, we were denied, I felt we were denied a nailed on penalty. And then the watching it back on the iPad kind of confirmed me that we were denied a nailed on penalty. So I called the fourth official and walked towards him with the iPad saying, this is a joke, you know, have a look at this. And I was immediately booked. Apparently, if you approach any member of the refereeing team with it's an instant yellow card.
Yeah, modern technology and all that. Like, it is funny where, like, lads will know within, if the LOI TV is working properly, you'll kind of know within a minute or so, like, what went wrong. And Stephen Kenny was adamant about the goal being offside the other night, which they felt at the time. But I'm pretty sure, as far as I understand, Tiernan and his brother Seamus do, they do chat during the game. And if I'm wrong on that, I apologise. But that's my understanding anyway. But Bo is like, at least they showed again tonight that they have that late goal in them. It looked like, you know, they were going to drop 3 points in Shamrock Rovers. I don't really know if they're in the title race, Shane. I don't think there is a title race, to be honest.
I was literally just about to say that. Yeah, this time last week we both kind of blew the final whistle on the title race. Since then, we've seen a very comprehensive defeat. A fantastic performance, by the way, I thought, by Bowes on Monday night. So a fairly comprehensive defeat for Shamrock Rovers. And then not exactly blowing Waterford United out of...
Did you see the goal?
Have I seen... No, I haven't actually seen the Rovers goal yet. I must jump on.
Oh, it's just like... It's the goalkeeping is so bad. It was just like literally it was just one of these head and hands moments. But like Rory Gaffney, he's still going relatively strong at his age. But like Waterford are no mugs, and that could have been interesting tonight. But I did think that it was a real wake up call for Rovers the other night, that if you press them, they'll start making mistakes. Like if you press them hard, they will make mistakes. And they were like, they could have been hockey the other night, the way it worked out.
Do you think with them stuttering and stumbling a bit at the moment, maybe you were saying if you press them, they'll make mistakes. Is it going to give teams a blueprint? Is it going to give them a little bit more belief that they can go and beat them? Like, is this, essentially what I'm asking is this still done? Like,
I still, like, you're looking at who are their rivals. Like, you're reliant on a Derry team that obviously has a lot of new players and would need to go on a bit of a run. I don't really see Bowes doing it. You can forget about Shells and certainly Pats anyway. So Shamrock Rovers need to sort of, and this is a team that up until last year, they always basically knew how to win the league. Michael Noonan can only be improving. It's that list of midfield players, Shane, that they have to come in to change games. And like, they still have a very good defence, like, by and large. So I think it'll be down to business as usual. What happens in Europe, they may not get, I mean, they could have a good Europe, but it's not through the champions route if they get there, obviously, and that can be a problem in terms of maintaining your levels. But I don't really see them. I'd be amazed if they didn't win the league, to be honest.
Listen, just to give a brief mention, I said it at the top of the show, a look at the first division, Dundalk, just when Cove Ramblers were starting to close the gap on them, an excellent 1-0 win for them. But let's just go to that Wexford-Kerry game and just give people the timelines here. Seanie McGrath puts Kerry 1-0 up with a penalty in the 6th minute. Wexford equalise. Sean McGrath scores another to make it 2-1. Wexford then have a man sent off in Robbie McCourt. Sean McGrath scores a penalty to get a first half hat trick and put Kerry 3-1 up. Wexford down to 10 men. Time to head for the turnstiles if you're a Wexford fan, I would have thought, and head on home. And then, my God, Johnny, Mikey Rowe scores to make it 3-2. Aaron Dobbs scores to make it 3-3. Quickly followed by a Mikey Rowe winner to make it 4-3. That is up there with one of the best comebacks we've seen.
And like that was massive for Wexford, because you'd have to say, like, it hasn't been a great season.
Yeah, no, 100%. I would have had them in my kind of preseason predictions, that I would have said, you know, Dundalk up around the top, and then I would have had Cove, Bray and Wexford as a group of three that'd be battling it out for second, third and fourth. And at the moment, Wexford are still actually outside the promotion playoff spots. Now, look, it's only on goal difference to UCD, but definitely, yeah, I'd agree with you. They haven't been. You look at the team sheet, but like the likes of Aaron Dobbs and Mikey Rowe and the Livingstons and all of these, and they should definitely be a lot higher up. But I mean, if ever a result should galvanize the dressing room and help them kick on, the manner of that one surely is going to be a massive help to them.
100%, and like, as much as people might knock the system in the first division, where obviously half the teams in the league can end up in playoff spots, like with Athlone imploding, everyone else has very much a realistic chance, like, of finishing in the first five, and overall I think that's good for the league until we get in a proper relegation system. Like, Kerry will obviously be down and out tonight, but like, they're still in with a chance of finishing fifth, and I think that was a massive win for Wexford.
Big time. Johnny, we're a little bit lighter on callers tonight, probably because we arsed around with everybody so much at the start. But listen, we'll call time in it very, very quick. Look forward to next Friday night. So we've got Derry City at home to Waterford, Drogheda at home to Galway United, Shelburne at home to Cork City, and St. Patrick's Athletic at home to Bohemians in what will definitely be a tasty one. In the first division, it's Bray at home to Wexford, Cove at home to Athlone, Finn Harps at home to Longford Town, Kerry at home to Dundalk, and UCD at home to Treaty. Oh, here he is. Just as we're signing off, we have to give him 2 minutes very quickly, Johnny. Here is the Irish Chancellor, the man who went viral on social media during the week. Can you hear us, Chancellor?
We can indeed.
How are you? Were you at tonight's game?
I was actually in Dunleary. I couldn't like this tonight's game, unfortunately.
Oh, well, go on. Tell us about the week you've had.
Where do I go again? Out. I think I was on, where was I? LOI talk when we lost to. Sorry, I'm not very energetic, but for the past 46 hours, I'll be real with you. Dear Lord, we watched Redfoot against Bohemian. It's absolute, oh dear Lord. I wanted to climb my way out with a wet spoon, like, fuck, I have had enough. No amount of drink was saving me that night. That was disgraceful. That was a shambolic display.
You weren't happy.
Did I sound happy?
No, definitely not. You sound unhappy and also, unfortunately, very, very echoey. So we might have to leave it there. It's not the greatest line in the world tonight, I'm afraid.
Fair enough. Wait, can I just say one more thing?
Go on.
Danny Grant was lethal tonight. I just need to put that out there, folks.
There's a surprise. His manager took him off with 15 minutes left. You can't have been happy.
No, I wasn't happy, but he believed it all up and down the place. So I'm going to have to leave this now, right?
Go on. Good luck.
Bye, boy.
Johnny, thanks a million. Those who stuck with us at the start while we were trying to solve all our gremlins and that, thank you very, very much for sticking with us. And hopefully, well, I think certainly we will thankfully have Cameron Hill back in the hot seat next week and everything back to normal. Cheers, Johnny. Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, Shane Keegan, where is Damien Duff?
Where is Damien? Where will he next appear? That is the million-dollar question.
Thanks for your time.
Good luck. Good night.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
Oh, Duffer. Duffer, Duffer, Duffer. What have you done, Duffer?
Oh, from the jaws of victory, defeat is snatched.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.